Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to another edition of...
Fingers on Buzzers.
Goodness me. I mean, there was an element of physicality to that that you listeners will not
see. I was trying to do a bit of Doppler.
It was beautiful. Yeah. I hope that's come across.
Drive-by intro.
To the good listeners. It looked marvellous. Anyway, that's great. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us for another tip-top episode. We have got...
Tip-top, indeed.
Absolutely tip-top. We've got Justin Morehouse, who is a friend of both of ours.
And an avid quiz fan.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of talk of quizzing and we're going to very heavily tee up an anecdote, which I hope is, you know, going to live up to our expectations.
Yeah. He teased it when I appeared on his show a couple of weeks ago, so...
Yes, if anyone who heard
it should be good.
We'll all be absolutely agog to hear what he's got to say there. And then we've got the brilliant Mike Cannon, who is an amazing quizzer and is going to do something quite special for us in terms of a listener quiz. Now, we are delighted to have with us a man who is sitting in one of the nicest settings we have seen on a Zoom call. I know this won't mean much to the listeners, but he's looking great and sounding great. It's Mike Cannon. Hello, Mike.
Hi. Yeah, podcast, probably not the best medium to discuss interiors, but
you definitely do well on that. There's a Rate My Zoom Background account, isn't there, where people get...
Oh, I've got to
get
on that
a score.
Then.
Yeah, 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
It's a solid 10 for you, Mike. So now, Mike, it's lovely to have you with us. Will you tell us a little bit about you and your relationship to quizzing?
Yeah, of course. So I've always been a big quiz fan. I think as a child, I would often do quizzes for my family, that kind of thing, on New Year's Eve, that sort of thing. And I've sort of always done a bit of... writing quizzes. In work, I often do a Friday lunchtime quiz, which is what was number one 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago on this day.
Oh, lovely.
Great. And also good for Potmaster revision. So there we go.
Yes.
And then basically during lockdown, I have done what many other people who have been on this podcast have done, and started a quiz for my friends and family, which I did weekly to start off with and now do a little less frequently. But yes, the USP of that one is that I do a music round on a melodica, mainly because I am not the best with tech. So I couldn't like figure out a way to play music on the quiz. So I just played it on the melodica. So that always
Look at one of those. It's the keyboard you blow into, is it? Okay. That's amazing.
It has like a pipe coming out of it. So usually you only sort of see me and the pipe and then me staring, really concentrating on playing the right thing.
Oh, bless you.
I love that creativity. And I think that's what's... That's something that has shone out from the best Zoom quizzes. Anybody, I think, can pick up a quiz book or Google some questions and read them out. But thinking outside the box like that, I think that's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and people really appreciate the personal effort that you've gone to, don't they?
Yeah, and I've seen so many great Zoom quizzes out there that are doing things that you maybe couldn't necessarily do in a usual pub quiz, and they're really using the medium to that's not something that I'm doing, but you know, other people are doing it really well, and you know, coming up with really innovative things. So it's great to see that.
No, it's been really nice actually talking about this on the podcast and getting, and I have been shamelessly stealing ideas, and I've got to be honest with you, Mike, I think the melodica, because I'm not musical, but you know, I've got a stylophone, and I'm wondering if I could maybe achieve the same. Perfect. What's the most ambitious thing you've attempted on your melodica?
Well, I did do one round, which was quiz show themes, and the hardest one was "Have I Got News for You?" Because it's really quite
that's pacey.
And only connect is also very tricky, if only for the random notes. But yes.
Oh, well done. And how do you just do this by ear, or do you have you found a source material for the music?
So I play piano, so it's not too hard to sort of move on to the melodica, at least if it's just sort of one note at a time. So I sort of just make it up a bit.
I'm wondering for a Christmas special if we might, Jenny, be able to invite Mike along to do some melodica tunes. I mean, would that be a thing that you might consider, Mike?
I would be honoured. I did actually buy the melodica for the Arcadia Digital Christmas Quiz last year to do UK number ones. The original plan was handbells, but I thought that would be a bit too much of a fan.
Oh, amazing though.
That's a lot of setup, yeah.
Yeah. I would love to be back to play the melodica.
Oh, amazing. Well, there we go, Mike. I think that's a deal. Perfect. Now, so obviously that's for the future, but in the more immediate future, we will be talking to you again because you have come up with a quiz for us, and I cannot wait. It's not musical, is it? Or is it musical?
There is a music question in there. I will not be performing on this one.
No, save that for Christmas, love.
Yeah, keep your powder dry.
Perfect. All right, lovely. Well, we'll be talking to you again very soon. Thank you, Mike Cannon.
Ooh, thank you very much.
Now, what an absolute treat we have today, because it is someone I have known and loved for many, many, many years. It's very much my second favourite Justin in the whole entire world. And I only say that because I'm married to one, and he might, you know, it might take umbrage if I said that Justin Morehouse is my favourite. But I think he is probably my favourite. It's Justin Morehouse.
So nice to hear that. Do you know what? I don't know many Justins, so when you meet another Justin, you sort of gravitate towards them. And your Justin's lovely, isn't he?
I believe so. Yes. Yeah. In fact, you know, I was going to do you a quiz on sort of famous Justins, but then I started looking and I fell down a Justin Bieber online wormhole. Yes. And it was so depressing that I didn't. So anyway, I haven't done that, Justin.
Good.
And how are you, lovely man? You've been podcasting and broadcasting furiously throughout lockdown, I believe.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm okay. I kind of, every now and then I have a little slip, like I think a lot of people do. And then I go, do you know what? Actually, I'm compared to lots of people, I'm okay. I'm all right. I've managed to keep lots of work going, different stuff going. So that's the main thing. And the dog's getting walked a lot. I'm fine. How are you guys?
Yeah. Do you know, a friend of mine told me that in Spain for a while they had a thing where you could only go outside if you were walking a dog. Yeah. And so people who wanted to go outside were paying other people to rent their dog. And the phrase fitter than a Spanish dog became one that we thought that would be
I know people who live in Spain who were doing this.
No, there you go.
And they were, not only were they paying people, they were meeting in underground car parks. So you would drive in with your dog and then drive out without it. People were exchanging poodles underground like they were sort of like contraband.
In Spain, dogging in a car park means something very different.
Completely different. It's like that. Do you know this story about, it's slightly different and I know it's not in your subject, but do you know the thing about in Disneyland where people in Florida, if their kids have got a registered disability, will hire them out to rich people to queue jump?
Yeah.
That is bleak, isn't it? That is.
Well, there's two ways of looking at it. One way is going capitalism in full effect. Or secondly, the people who are saying, our kids get looked at. I mean, imagine being the parent of a kid with very specific needs that, you know, it might be hard work all day. You're getting money for them, you're getting rid of them all day, and they're having a day out at a fun fair. I mean,
show me
where the losers are.
Yeah. the poor people who are stuck in the queue who couldn't afford to hire a wheelchair-bound child.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't get a wheelchair-bound child. You just get one with some vague kind of special needs.
Right.
I think that's what they were doing. Maybe just forge document. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this one.
I think let's pull it back. Let's pull it back.
Yeah. We went to Los Angeles a couple of years ago, and we only went to one theme park, and we bought the Fast Pass tickets, and it was the greatest day of my life. I felt like Elton John all day long.
I've never done that because I am a very mean parent, but do you just get to go right to the front of the queue all times?
You know what would happen, but to do Universal Studios, I think you need 2 days.
Right.
Well, we had Fast Pass tickets and we just got there first thing in the morning, we left last thing at night, did every single ride and didn't have to queue up. It's just glorious, honestly. It was the best thing we've ever done. It's the second best thing about that day was we went on the Jurassic Park ride. And it takes your photograph, but there was four of us, but the rows are five. So the photograph we've got is us four, then our little adopted child from Mexico at the end. That we'd hired to get to the front of the queue. Being Mexican isn't a disability, just so people know that.
Anyway, let's try and bring it back onto quizzing, I'd say.
Yes.
So now, Justin, you have done Mastermind, and your spesh, as we're going to call it, was Les Dawson.
It was indeed, yes, Les Dawson. If I can just tilt my screen there just for your benefits, if you just look up there in the top corner there on the left-hand side.
Oh, yes.
There's the Mastermind trophy.
The all-important trophy amongst what else? What is all that stuff on your shelf? I mean, I'm fascinated.
A lot of Wisdoms.
The yellow books are Wisdoms, cricket records. Top shelf is a Man United signed football. Next to that is a latex Eric Cantona mask from the Ken Loach film Looking for Eric. That was in. Some poker chips and an atlas. And now that box there, that's very interesting. In that box is a false beard. I had about 50 of those made when I did a play called Zach at the Royal Exchange in Manchester, and they got shaved off every day, so we had to get different ones made every day, and that was the last one. And below that, copies of my DVD, which are still available.
nice plug.
I love this sort of audio through the keyhole that we're doing. I think this is a format that could catch on, definitely. So the Mastermind trophy is up there, pride of place. Talk us through your Mastermind appearance, if you would.
So I got asked to do it, and the advice they gave me was pick something that you like. And so I picked Les Dawson, who is my hero. He was my hero before I was a comedian. Mm-hmm. Before I'd ever thought about doing comedy, I was a huge Les Dawson fan. And it was just a joy. I just read every single thing that you could read about Les Dawson, including, Louis Barth, the comedian historian, you know that guy. Yeah.
I do. He's written a brilliant biography of Ken Dodd, which I bought for Justin, my Justin, last year. It's excellent.
He's written loads of books. He sent me his unpublished biography of Les Dawson, which I read as well, which clearly was going to be no questions in there because it wasn't even published. And do you know what happened? Can I be honest? That's what I think you have to be, don't you, on these things? Mm-hmm. They never asked me a question about Les Dawson that I didn't know before I started reading.
Yes, yes.
So I already knew everything, and just stuff that I'd got by osmosis over the years. And it was, it was really easy. It was too easy. It's too easy, isn't it, Celebrity Mastermind? Let's be honest.
Well, I mean, you say that, but those of us who've won it, I think we should maintain the mystique that it's actually tough. But you're right. I mean, it's significantly easier than the proper version.
I think there's going to be a new trend now of celebrities going on civilian versions. What's happened with Only Connect this year?
Emma Kennedy and Mitch Benn,
Because that wasn't a celebrity version, was it?
No, that's the real version. And I mean, they still could be in it to win it. So
did Andy Osho not go on the Real Mastermind? I don't know, or maybe she just said she was going to. We'll have to ask her. But yeah, I mean, I think that's it. There's enough celebrities who've been very bored in 2020 and have been quizzing so much that I think that might be something that we come to see. Who else was on your edition of Mastermind?
Matthew Hoggard, the England cricketer, whose specialist, I'll tell you the story. His specialist subject was Friends, series 1 and 2.
Okay.
And question one was, in episode 1, series 1, Joey and Chandler discuss it's so many steps between the front door of their apartment to the front door of the coffee shop that they all enjoy. What's it called? Just blank. Didn't speak for about a minute.
Oh, no.
Oh, baby.
Oh,
no.
God, that's awful. And I mean, also, the thing about Mastermind, which is the length of question and the fact that it says something completely different, and then it sometimes really does throw people off because they're going, how many steps was it between there? Actually, no, the question is going to be really, really, really easy. But I think, it does freak people out. Oh, God, did he recover?
No, they had to sort of pause recording.
Oh, no.
It was quite awkward. Yeah, it was quite awkward. So he was on a guy called Jules from Escape to the Country. You know that guy?
Yeah.
Who looks like Hal Cruttendon. And and I can't remember who else was. There was one more person. I can't remember who it was. That's rubbish, that, isn't it? But I took Les Dawson's daughter with me.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
yeah,
lovely.
His elder daughter. Yeah, she got in touch with me to say she knew I was doing it. And I invited her and she came along and it was lovely.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
And they spoke to, yeah. I think comedians always do well on there or do really badly, don't they? I think it's either one or the other.
There's no middle ground. No.
I think because we're just used to being in the spotlight, aren't we, and being on our own. I think it's kind of suits
You're
us.
Not phased so much. Like, you know, even sports people who you think, God, they're used to so much pressure as professional athletes, they're much more nervous because I think also we've died and we've faced humiliation.
Yes.
And, you know, you are slightly toughened up by that, I guess.
The same day I recorded mine, Jason Manford recorded his, and he did that thing of, like, if you can't let the last one go that you got wrong.
Mm.
And you know, and it just threw him. He had, which American intelligence agency is three letters and based at Langley or something? And he said, KGB. And then if you got it wrong, he went, FBI, I mean CIA. And they went, oh, you've got to say your first answer.
Bless.
Well, maybe he knows something we don't, you know.
Exactly. Well, he's ahead of his time.
Exactly. Russian interference. So and what other quizzing have you enjoyed in your lifetime, Justin?
Well, I've done very badly on Pointless a couple of times.
Haven't we all?
Yeah, the worst thing about Pointless is, I don't know if you've ever gone out round one. I've done it twice, gone out round one. And they just bundle you in a car and drive you away. It's so weird.
Well, that is the full civilian experience of being on a quiz show.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're there waiting around for hours beforehand and then they can't get rid of you soon enough afterwards. Ooh, bye, on your train.
The dog's just making an appearance there.
Hello, what's your dog called?
She's called Pets Coco, there she is.
Can you see? Oh, gorgeous. Hey, Coco. Oh, that's a waggy tail. Who's a good girl? She's a good girl, Coco. Hey, Coco.
Hi, Coco. What are you doing there? She's wanting a walk.
No, look at that. Like a little Spanish dog. Anyway, so
she's not mine, Jose from next door.
Well, Coco is a, you know, could be a very Spanish name. You don't know. Yeah, no, it is awful when you go out in the first round in pointless. I just did it in lockdown, and because no one even shakes your hand or gives you a cuddle, you're just like pushing you
with a stick.
Yeah,
lepers. Yeah. So
the first time I did it, I think it was Jenny McAlpine, and I can't remember what went wrong. But then I did a comedian special with Hal Crondon. And I just, you know, you just get something so wrong. It's just so wrong. It was famous children in horror movies or something like that. And it was who's this from the Addams Family? And I said Tuesday Addams. Oh. I just got it wrong.
Just
in my
one
head,
day out, you know.
Yeah, I just got it wrong, and it was clearly. And the minute I'd done it, and it's that competitive thing of just going. And as soon as I said it, I could feel everyone going, no, you've got it wrong. The audience, I went, oh. And I went, no.
You were thinking of Tuesday Weld, the actress.
Well, Tuesday is a name, isn't it? Wednesday's never a name. That's why, yeah. And Francesca was on the show and she got it straight away next after me. She took my answer and ran with it. But never mind. And then I did Eggheads, which I loved.
Who was your team for Eggheads?
Again, it was Hal Cruttendon, Ken Cheng. I can't remember who else was on. It was comedians. Yeah. And I got stiffed on that, I'll be honest with you. I went to the head-to-head.
Beef. You got beef.
Yeah. And Sport answered all three questions. Bang, bang, bang. Not a problem. And then in the sudden death, they asked me who was the champion horse trainer. And I don't know anything about horses and all. I don't think it's a sport. And... And I was playing against Lisa, and hers was basically what colour shirts did they wear in the Valletta? Like, you had a choice of one in seven if you didn't know. I had every person in the world.
Well, you see, I don't know the answer to that question. What colour shirts they wear in what?
So in the Tour de France, the leader wears the yellow jersey.
Yeah,
okay.
In
the Giro, it's the pink, and in the Valletta, it's red.
Oh, okay.
So different. Yeah, and I quite like cycling. I quite enjoy the cycling stuff and that. So anyway, never mind. It's a long way to go just to be embarrassed.
I know, it's awful. I went out on the Weakest Link on a cricket question and it still rankles because I don't think cricket's a sport. I mean, I know that's probably more contentious than horse racing, but I don't. I mean,
you're talking to a man sat in front of his bank of wisdoms. Actually, cricket is a connection with another TV quiz as well. I've been phoning a friend on... Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Have you? Who phoned you?
Sally Lindsay. So Sally Lindsay and her husband Steve White, and it was one of those one of them drop the mic moments, because you get a phone call and it was Chris Tarrant in them days, and it literally was like, oh, it's just Chris Tarrant here. Sally and Steve are doing very well, but they need your help. And it's like, oh, I'm in the show. And Sally comes on and she sounded dead northern. She came on, she went, aye, love. And she just asked me the question. She said, Lord's Cricket Ground, Old Father Time sits on top of this stand. What is it? And I just went, weather vane, before she gave me the option. She went, and you need to know it. Final answer. And that was it.
Oh, lovely.
Didn't even go through the options. Yeah, great.
I've always wondered what it's like with the phone a friend. Do they do any sort of preliminary call, or you just know you've got to be at home from this time to this time?
Certain time. I think when they do it for proper money and with things, there's talk that somebody sits with you, but that never happened to me.
Now, I think in the current climate, there's a security person there with you.
Yeah, would be.
I think since the reboot, definitely, to make sure you're not Googling. Staring at a list of world capitals on your wall.
Well,
because you could, couldn't you? You could just cover your walls with every fact that you could ever think of.
Well,
I mean, that is what my spare room looks like. So.
Well, I've done that. I've watched. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And I've played phone a friend to see if you could Google it quickly, and you easily can.
Yeah.
It's like Pop Master.
Oh, don't. Googling. It's got so awful, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And of course, Ken.
So many of them at it.
Yes.
Yeah. He's very dignified, though. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't make an issue. He doesn't call people out, but you can tell the disdain in his voice. You can tell.
Oh, you got that just at the last second.
They've got a clicky keyboard. You can hear your enter key.
Get a touch screen, at least, if you're going to do it. Do you know what I mean? Or put yourself on mute and Siri it.
I mean, they're not proper Potmaster fans. I just think that I think it doesn't happen often, but sometimes you can. There was a 3-10 the other day, and it was, you know, the 3-10. He'd obviously just about managed to Google.
Literally the first three that came up.
Yeah.
I'd rather not. Dude, I'd rather not win it and cheat, you know.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I do a thing on a Sunday on Talk Sport with Max Rushton and Barry Glendening. And it's every week they phone me and we play a game called Guess the Attendance. And they basically, obviously in lockdown times, they've had to go with historic ones. So they go Gillingham versus Sunderland, 1987. And basically, Barry will go one number, then I'll go one higher or lower. And we just do best of five. And it's fun, but you could easily cheat that. You could easily cheat it. But I'd hate to cheat something that I don't get paid for. I don't win anything. It's just the fun of doing it.
Yeah.
I'm too competitive to cheat. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We did catch someone cheating on one of our Zoom quizzes. It was very awkward because we all have a little WhatsApp group to discuss. And someone who'd had no idea in the WhatsApp group had suddenly come up with the answer. And it was, we were like, there's just no way. You're not, it wasn't one of those things. I can't remember what the question was now, but it wasn't one of those things that would just come to you.
No.
It was like, you must have Googled that and now you're trying to pass it off. And we just said, we don't want the point. We don't want that point.
No, we had, I do a quiz on a Monday with Rob Riley and Mick Ferry and a few others. And we know there is a team that cheats. We hate them.
So disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah. We hate them so much.
It takes the joy out, doesn't it?
Well, and also, it's like, it's a friend of Jenny's who writes the quiz, you know, that Red Tooth one.
Yeah. Dave Bill.
And it's just a nice evening out. And it's ruined by these people who, and they're just so obvious, they sit there with the phone.
Anyway. What a sad little life. To quote Come Dine With Me, what a sad little
I hope you're very life. Happy.
Now, Justin, when I appeared on your podcast recently, you teased that you had a Bowen anecdote.
A Jim Bowen anecdote?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes.
No pressure, but this is kind of the climax of the podcast. But anyway, in your intro.
So a few years ago, I used to love Jim Bowen. I used to love Bullseye. I absolutely hate the sort of like irreverence that people have for it and the mockery of it. I think it's actually a brilliant format. And it should have been brought back properly with somebody like this guy hosting it. I'd have dealt with it properly. All those rubbish things, oh, somebody in Birmingham gets a speedboat. That's not true. Anyway, so Jim was very proud of that. And Jim was doing, I don't even remember, Lucy, a few years ago, Jim came up and did a couple of Edinburgh shows.
Yes.
Where he was doing stuff about Bullseye. And before it, there was a comedy magazine, I think it was called The Fix or something like that. And they were interviewing Jim and me, like stalwarts of the North, one newer, one older, about our time in comedy. And I went to Jim's house. He had a lovely house in Lancaster. And outside his garage, he had two beautiful Mercedes, his and hers. His wife had one, he had one. And I said, Jim, why don't you put the Mercedes in the garage? There's a double garage there. Why do you have your cars outside? He went, ah, well, that's because in that one is the Roller and the other one is the Bentley. So this is the kind of, that's where he was. But anyway, we did this interview and he's going, who do you like then? What kind of comedy do you like? So I'm talking about this, that and the other. And I said, oh, I love Bob Monkhouse.
Yes.
He said, oh, he said, he'd have loved you, Bob. He said, he wasn't a funny man naturally, but he loved comedy and he'd have loved you. So I said, oh, right, great. He said, who else do you like? I said, Les Dawson's my number one. He said, oh, Les, lovely man. He'd have loved you. Grafter, like yourself. Grafter. Worked hard, he'd have loved you. He said, bloody hell. He said, everybody you're talking about's dead. He said, who else do you like? I said, well, I quite like Bruce Forsyth. He said, the man's a... I said, what? He said, he's dead old. He said, he's doing music old jokes on telly. He should move aside and let somebody else have a go. He never made the interview. I mean, God rest. They're both dead now anyway, so they can't see us.
But it's a bloody marvellous anecdote. I absolutely love that. Yes. Absolutely love it. And we love Jim Bowen and we yes. love the legacy of Bullseye on this show. So, you know, that's right up our street.
I don't trust anybody who doesn't pick darts up and doesn't say county player. If you don't pick darts up and go, county player, no pressure on you now. One of my favourite memes is that one where Jim does that, way! You know, when he does that, when he does a punch in the air and he spins yes. round when somebody's won. Yeah, it was a brilliant show. It's, yes. it's flawless.
Yeah, and he was genuinely delighted and it was, yeah, the whole thing really was just a little nugget of joy in a Sunday
evening. They could easily bring it back. They could easily put it on mainstream television. Been doing some work for ITV, developing some shows and things like that with game shows and quizzes and things like that. And I was speaking to people quite high up in ITV. And one of the dirty little secrets that ITV have is that catchphrase is massive. Mm. Yeah. The audience it gets is incredible. And you'd yeah. think it's a bit of a joke format. But actually, some of these things work brilliantly. And I think Bullseye, I definitely could see Bullseye being on Saturday yeah. tea time.
You've got to have that. It's the play-along ability. I think things like catchphrase. Mm. There's something for everybody. And if you don't know that one, there's going to be another one along in a minute where you and your gran can compete and shout yeah. from the sofa
yeah.
and get invested.
That's
in
it. Well, I think that's why, you know, telly should be trying to be that kind of spanning the generations rather than trying to appeal to specific demographics and, you know.
Well, there's certain times, isn't there? Certain shows. I mean, you're never going to series link Bullseye. You know, but if it's on, you'll all sit down and watch it, won't you?
Yeah.
In my absolutely. Humble opinion.
And you're absolutely right. Now, do we have time? Can you spare us time for a little quick fire quiz before you go?
I've got hours. You can have me for as long as you need me.
I think your dog might have something to say about that. But yeah. We'll do... I thought because of the Greater Manchester connection between all of us. I live there, you two have been born and resided there. Mm-hmm. Thought I would do a sort of a mank off between you.
Pardon? You'd mank us off?
Pardon me.
Maybe that was an unfortunate turn of phrase.
Somebody said to me yesterday, I was joking about them, a friend of mine. I said, are we buying each other presents for Christmas? There was no way we'd be buying each other for presents, but it was a joke thing. And she said, I'm going to get you that sculpture, that head from the Hello video of yourself. So I said, so literally, you're going to be giving me a head for Christmas.
Hey! I like it a lot. Right, I'm going to do a quick fire, just a few questions about... Mm-hmm. The amazing things that have come out of the Northwest, but more specifically Manchester or Greater Manchester.
Okay,
which movement was galvanised in the early 19th century by the support of Reverend Cowherd of the Beefsteak Chapel
Vegetarian
in Salford?
Society.
Exactly.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
One of the very earliest vegetarian movements, William Cowherd, who died in 1816, but his movement lived on and contributed to the rise of vegetarianism in the UK. Founded in 1888, the Football League is the oldest world football competition. Who won the first...
Preston North End.
Well done.
Yes. Thank you. Oh, I was going to buzz in a bit earlier as well.
Yes. Oh. You knew where it was going.
It could go anywhere, this.
Second and third? Any ideas?
Wanderers, engineers.
Yeah, Wanderers were third. And Wolverhampton Wanderers, not Bolton Wanderers, sorry. Wolverhampton Wanderers.
No. I don't have no idea.
And
who were the big six in them days?
So it was Preston North End, Aston Villa, Wolverhampton Wanderers, Blackburn Rovers, Bolton Wanderers and West Bromwich Albion.
We're in the European positions, but never any higher.
Rolls Royce was created.
Midland Hotel.
Yeah. Oh, you are good. I love this. Okay. Emmeline Pankhurst founded a movement in Manchester in 1903. What was the name of that? The name of that movement?
Votes for Women.
The official name of the organisation that she founded.
Suffragette movement, or
suffrage.
The women's something.
Women's suffrage movement.
No, I'll tell you, it was the Women's Social and Political Union.
Ah.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a great question, I'll be honest with you.
These days it would be called Votes for Women, wouldn't it? It would be called something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be called Votes.
Yeah. Have you seen
Snappy. Have you seen
the statue in St. Peter's Square?
No.
So the statue is Emmeline Pankhurst doing a speech, but she stood on a chair. And my son pointed out to me, he said, all it's going to take is some kind of like wag to put a picture of a mouse on the bottom just to make her look like she's very weak.
You've planted that idea now, Morehouse. Yeah. And,
I know. I'm enabling misogynists, aren't I? That's what I'm doing.
I'll give you one more question. In 1917, at the University of Manchester, an artificial nuclear reaction was created for the first time. By whom? People say he was the first person to split the atom, but it's an artificial nuclear reaction.
I don't know. I'm giving up.
Oh, good. I finally beat you both. It was Ernest Rutherford.
Rutherford, yeah. That's where you get the Rutherford Institute, don't you?
It's because I didn't realise that was at Manchester.
Well, so there you go. More Nobel Prize winners than, I think, Oxford and Cambridge, and then Manchester's third in the Nobel Prize winners league table at British universities. But good quizzing, good Mankoff, guys.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute delight and a joy to speak to you, Justin.
Thank you.
And I look forward to seeing you after lockdown.
Yeah, one day it'll happen, won't it?
One day soon, and we will keep listening to you on the radio. And have you got a podcast?
It's called About 30 Minutes, No More Than 45, and it was just my audio diary. I think I probably grabbed you on it before now, Lucy, and I just bump into people and chat to people and things like that. But obviously during lockdown, it's become longer chats. We've had some amazing guests on recently. We've had your co-host. We've had Chris Hoy was on last week, got Pete McKee on this week, Gabby Logan, Badly Drawn Boy, and they've been really good, and they've sort of like developed into quite earnest chats about mental health and all sorts of stuff. Really good.
Amazing.
Really nice.
I will listen to those until I can see your lovely face again.
Nice to see you both.
Thank you very much for coming, Justin Morehouse. So now we are joined once again by the man with the wonderful backdrop and the melodica in his back pocket. It is Mike Cannon. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Do you have your quiz ready for us, please, my darling?
I do have the quiz ready for you. I'll just give you a bit of background. So the quiz that I do during lockdown usually has a round that I call the 4-3-2-1 round. So the first question has four answers, three answers, etc. Obviously, as it's five questions on this podcast, I've done a 5-4-3-2-1 round. Mixture of a couple of pub quiz classic genres, which I'm sure you guys will smash, and then some other stuff.
Ooh, great. How exciting. I'm just going to let my cat out. Hang on a sec.
That's why she's calling it now.
There we go. Yeah, not a euphemism. There she is. She's gone. She's out. Lovely. Right. So 5-4-3-2-1. Do you want me to do the 5-4-3? In fact, Jenny, do you want to do the 5-4-3-2-1 theme tune?
I don't have my melodica to hand, so...
Never mind.
Okay, so pub quiz classic for the first one. What are the first five books of the Old Testament?
Oh my God. Well, Genesis.
Yes.
Exodus. Leviticus.
Yes.
Numbers.
Mm-hmm.
What's the other one?
Kings. No.
Judges?
No.
Deuteronomy.
Oh, Job. Yeah. Correct. There we go.
Deuteronomy. Oh, Deuteronomy, lovely. Deuteronomy. Yeah. I was at that point just shouting books of the Old Testament at you, Mike. So there you go. Very good question.
I feel like people in general learn like the first four and then like that's probably all I need. So yeah, that's
quite cool. I never got past, Genesis is the most entertaining book.
Yeah.
Because it's even got like, it's got the multicolored dream coat in there. It's got your lot. Exodus is quite entertaining. And I think it kind of tails off in terms of sort of hilarity after that.
I think it's that classic, you know, the first book was great. Sequel, okay. Sequel. But then...
There's a really interesting book about the Bible. Okay, right, this sounds very tedious, but it's called The Book of J, and it's an academic theory that the first books of the Bible were actually written as a bit of a laugh, and they were written by a woman.
Wow. Oh, cool.
And actually, when you read it, you think, all this adds up. It's not a conspiracy theory. They're actually, they've got evidence and about what the intention of the first books of the Bible was in the first place. They're an entertainment and, you know, teaching lessons, but it was more, you know, there was a little bit of satire in there. Yeah, great. Oh, and it makes sense when you read it and you think, yeah, a woman's written this. Yeah, no one else could come up with this nonsense.
What was that called again?
Book of J, just the letter J.
Okay,
there you go.
Right, question number two. Four answers to this one then. Which four countries in the world are the largest producers of wine? This is a subject close to my heart.
Yes,
and volume.
By volume.
By volume. Right.
France.
Yes.
Australia.
USA. Australia doesn't appear in the top four.
South Africa?
No.
Argentina?
No.
Chile?
Closer to home. Close
Spain?
To home. Spain.
Italy.
And Italy is number one.
Wow. I mean, yeah, it is every meal, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And me, now that I'm working from home, it's the same. I mean, lunch.
Very rarely drink an Italian wine these days. I must.
Oh, they're my favourites. I like a Primitivo. It's my go-to.
Yeah, so Italy's number one, then Spain, then France, and then the USA. I think China's number five. Big wine is producer, it? China. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was thinking, is it just that it's one of their main industries, or is it on a huge scale? Which is why you'd go for something like Australia, where you've got quite a lot of their agriculture will be devoted to it. But obviously not that much.
Well, I'm doing my bit to boost Australian wine sales. Because I have been drinking, that's been my very, very cheap Australian wines have been seeing me through lockdown.
you can name the brand and try and get an endorsement.
Yes, 19 Crimes. Hello.
I'm into 19 Crimes as well. Oh, the rum barrel aged.
Yes, it's nice, that one is
gorgeous.
It?
But their ordinary red's beautiful as well.
Well, they're Chardonnay.
A nice special offer.
Oh, I know. I mean, because actually, when I say very cheap, it's not. I mean, normally I'm £5 and below, and I think, you know, it's £7 to £9 for a bottle of the Crimes.
Yeah, but you can. Morrison's tends to do every other offer. It'll be in like the three for 15 or whatever they do.
Yeah.
There we go. Who knew this would turn into a hybro cheap wine chat?
Yeah, I usually just buy what's on offer. So there we go. Three answers to this one. Which three songs were number one hits for the band Atomic Kitten?
Hole Again.
Lovely question. This is
Hole Again,
lovely
number one.
Must have been.
Hole Again, yes.
Eternal Flame?
Yes.
The Tide Is High, brackets, Got the Feeling?
Correct.
There we go.
He's so
highbrow.
I think cheap wine and Atomic Kitten is a little bit of a great combo, a good pairing, as they say. Singing along to Eternal Flame at the top of your lungs after a couple of bottles of cheap Chardonnay.
Yeah, no, that's a night in for us, isn't it?
Wine, Atomic Kitten, and Leviticus. That's your night in.
If we could start a theory that the Bible was actually written by Atomic Kitten, that might be quite...
Kerry Katona came up with the whole concept and invented a time machine.
Prawn ring at the Last Supper. There you go. Okay, so question number four, two answers to this one. What are the two colours that appear on the flag of St. David?
Now, I confess that I am confused by this question. So the St. David, because obviously I'm thinking of the Welsh flag, which has a dragon on it, but it's not that, is it? So is this is going to sound really dumb, but is it in the Union Jack? It's not in the Union Jack, is it? That's just, or is it? What's in the Union Jack? There's the St. George and St. Andrew.
Yeah.
Is that it?
So yeah, it doesn't appear in the Union Jack. I will tell you that.
Is it black and white?
You've got one of the colours correct.
Is it black and yellow?
It's black and yellow.
Yeah, I was thinking when I've been on holiday in North Wales, I've seen that flag around and gone, what does that mean?
Yeah, I'm originally not from North Wales, which is why I know that flag.
Whereabouts?
But, yeah.
Where in North Wales are you from?
I'm from Wrexham, so just on the border, but we spend a lot of time the other side on our holidays in a caravan. Mm-hmm. But yes, when the Scottish independence referendum was happening, they were looking at what the flag might look like if they went independent. And because the blue on the Union Jack is only from the St. Andrew's flag, we would have had to go to a black, red and yellow Union Jack.
Ooh.
Potentially.
I'd be in for that, but yeah.
Yeah.
Flag changes are so controversial. Oh, yeah, it's they're tricky. So they've had to have a referendum in New Zealand about 6 times now, it seems, to change the flag and get rid of the Union Jack. And nobody can decide.
Well, mock it up. Let's mock up a Union Jack with the St. David's flag in it and see what we think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be nice to have some representation.
Yeah.
Just slap a dragon in the middle, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I think that makes any flag look fantastic. Yeah. Just pop a dragon on it. Done.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a question.
We've solved evolution now.
Little bonus question for you. I'm going to throw one back at you, Mike. What animal is on the flags of both Spain and Sri Lanka? And others as well, but Spain and Sri Lanka are too, with this particular animal on.
That's not a dragon, is it?
It's not.
I'm trying to picture it.
Is it a lion?
Yes, it is. Congrats.
It's a stylized one, isn't it? A lion. It's definitely on Sri Lanka, but it's holding a flag, is it?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. Which, I mean, lions, they're not known for being able to grip things.
Yes,
so.
Yeah.
Mike, what is our final question with presumably just one answer?
Yes. So the final question is, Gammon Retreat is an anagram of which British actress? Gammon Retreat.
Love that. I love it. Well, it's got Margaret. I'm trying to do it without writing it down, you see. Gammon Retreat. Anne? No.
Oh. Not an Anne.
I'm trying.
Norma.
To
I'm just going to keep shouting out her first names. Meg. Gammon Retreat.
I've almost got Megan Trainor, but that's not a British actress.
Oh, Emma. No, it's not Emma.
Oof, Emma. Did you say Emma?
Emma. Yeah.
Very close with Emma.
Is it Gemma?
Very close with Emma.
Gemma Arterton.
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
Gemma Arterton, very good.
No, that's a lovely one. I love an anagram, Mike. Absolutely love an anagram. That was a fantastic quiz. Thank you so much. And we look forward to hearing your melodica very soon. Thank you, Mike Cannon. Well, that was another wonderful episode, Jen. I enjoyed that enormously. I hope you did too.
Absolutely fantastic. I mean, that was a great listener quiz.
Yes.
Because there was something for everybody. And it puzzled us a little bit. Our Bible knowledge, mate, needs work. We need to put some effort in.
My parents will be spinning in their graves at the... Because, I did actually learn all the books of the Bible when I was a kid. I didn't. I used to know, and now I don't. And that is a source of great sadness for me. So anyway, it's something for me to revise.
Yep.
And something to look forward to in the melodica stylings of Mike, which will feature soon. So thank you guys for listening. As always, we are hugely appreciative of our listenership. Please
You're
leave
the
a
best,
nice review
guys.
If you can. I mean, we love you. Maybe.
And if you love this, you want other people to be able to hear the joy of quiz. So tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell your mum. maybe one are about the sweary episodes.
Tell your priest.
Definitely tell your priest. Mm-hmm. We've not had a priest on yet.
No, there was a priest on Potmaster the other day, and I thought, yeah, we'll get him on.
Yeah, at some point. If you're a man or woman of the cloth and you wish to set us a religious quiz, do.
Yeah, I'm going to be learning my books of the Bible, so that'll be good. All right, thanks very much for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.